Give Cammy Campbell 60 minutes on a Sunday morning from 11 a.m. and he'll give you the local stories that matter and the opportunity to use the platform to voice your opinion to listeners across the northeast of Scotland. The North Sound 2 Talkin'. It's the talk of the northeast of Scotland.
Good morning and welcome to the Talkin'. And as always, we tell you about the things that are happening on the next hour. Over the next 60 minutes, we will discuss the local stories that matter, the issues that are important to you. And as ever, anything can happen before midday. You can have your say on the items that have upset you, wound you up, left you speechless, or just really teed you off. Maybe you have something you want to celebrate. And some good news is always a good thing. The phone numbers are 01224 401035. We have Lisa through taking your calls there. On the text, John this week on 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy, that's C-A-M-M-Y. And if you're a little bit shy, you want to do it on the email, cammy@northsound2.com is one there. And we're on the Twitter thing. And Cammy1035 is your access to Twitter. Because we've started into the situation as far as elections, carrying out throughout April and into the first week of May, media regulator Ofcom states that we remain totally impartial at all times. That means during election periods. So with that in mind, if you are a candidate in the upcoming local elections for the Aberdeen City and Shire in May, I would ask you to refrain from ringing the Talkin' until after the election period is over. As far as the items that we've caught, we spoke last week about the peripheral route, and quite a few people were getting wound up for that. The fight against the Aberdeen bypass is being taken to the highest court in the land. Opposition group, Road Sense, was set to lodge a challenge at the UK Supreme Court this week. Now, they've already lost two appeals against Scottish ministers' decision to approve the £400 million route. And William Walton, he came back on. He is chairman of Road Sense.
I think we made the decision in terms of the principle to appeal on the basis of law. We made that quite early. The difficulty has been getting the money together. It's a very, very expensive business. Our cost could well be in excess of £100,000, and so to raise that sum of money has been very, very difficult. Through persuasion of our members and supporters, through their generosity, and really through those routes, we don't have any individuals with particularly deep pockets. We have, you know, we have a number of people who are really reasonably well heeled, but pardon me, we don't have anybody who's bankrolling us or anything like that. Yes, it has been a struggle, and we are committed to fighting this. We remain of the view that in 2005, five routes were put on the table and the sixth route was chosen, and that still angers a lot of people along the route. They should direct their anger or frustration in many ways at Tavish Scott, the previous minister, because we think that the roots of this debacle are with him, not with us. We're simply responding to what we think is an injustice. Had the Scottish ministers and the civil servants got it right in the first place, had they gone through the proper procedures, then I don't think they'd be in court today. Well, we think the process of route selection is flawed, and that's what I'm saying about the lack of consultation. One thing I can say is that the grounds of appeal will be narrower in the Supreme Court. So we are abandoning our arguments about violation of the Habitats Directive and the birds and the bees and the bats, etc. Those arguments are, I think, we've accepted now that the judges have probably got it right on that. We expect the case to last no more than a day and a half in the Supreme Court, so it won't be 4 days like it was in the last case, or 9 days as it was in the first day. In the first case, it'll be very short. One of the gripes we have, and that's probably putting it very mildly, is that in the second case, lengthy submissions were made by one of our advocates on lack of consultation, and there was reference made to a number of court cases concerning airport development in the southeast of England. And they centred on the issue of when it was appropriate to have consultation and what were the consequences of not having consultation. And the judgment does not refer to those submissions at all. which we found astonishing. And certainly our QC, Stuart Gale, said that when he first read the judgment about 6 weeks ago, he thought that some of the pages were missing. So part of our argument is that the judges have misdirected themselves in terms of the arguments that were put fairly and squarely in the last hearing. Another issue which we think will be, which we will put, because we have to, is that the judges in the last case said that I didn't have the grounds to appeal. If you remember, what they said was I didn't have standing, I didn't live close enough to the route. Now, the difficulty with that argument is that on that basis, who would come forward to protect the environment? And that interpretation of the law, that interpretation of standing, we believe, is a very antiquated view that Scottish judges have attached themselves to. And we think that the Supreme Court judges will actually very quickly dismiss that that argument that was presented, or not that argument, that finding that was made by the judges. We think that they'll very quickly say the Scottish judges were wrong on that.
And there you go. William Walton is the chairman of RoadSense, and he very kindly took the time, and he has put forward succinctly what he feels his case is. On the phone lines, hello, Keith, how are you?
Not bad, yourself?
I'm fine. You were on pretty quick reference to bypass. Were you listening to William Walton's piece?
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm sick listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm trying to make here, Carmi, is I work quite a lot around the Dyce area.
Yeah.
Now, they've started building new industrial units on Dyce Drive. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm really all for new buildings, extensions at the airports, etc. They're building new roads all the time, and the traffic is just getting worse by the day.
I don't think anybody will disagree with that on
you,
mate. No, I agree. I hear what you're saying. No. Are you a driver by any chance?
I'm a taxi driver.
You're a taxi driver?
Yes. Now,
the golden people, eh?
The point I'm trying to make here, Carmi, is how much longer is this going to go on? Nobody knows. Now, the need to take urgent measures now to even try and lighten the traffic. Now, one of the main issues is you're coming out of Dyce heading for Newmarkersey.
Yeah.
You'll come round Dyce Drive and then you'll pass the caravans on your right-hand side. You'll turn down the little country bit of road, which takes you around heading for onto the Dyce to take you out to Newmarker.
I've got you.
Now, when you go out of Aberdeen and you come to the, you know, you go under the bridge, you can either go right heading for Balmady or left for Newmarker.
Yeah.
They've got that corner there. Now, all they need to do there is take a chunk away from the left-hand side to allow the traffic to flow to go to Newmarker, because when somebody's turning right to go to Balmady, it brings everything to a halt.
It does.
Now, it's just a simple little measure like that. It will be immense for the traffic chaos at Dyce.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And it's the same as building this new industrial estate on the Dyce Drive.
Yeah.
Great to see it happening. But common sense, put a slip road from Dyce Drive so you don't need to stop at the traffic lights going round onto Wellheads.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hear where you're coming from. What you're really saying is there's little things that can be done which will encourage the flow of traffic.
Definitely.
Yes.
They need to act now. I mean, how long is this going to go on for?
Well, it's funny because last week we had the peripheral route on, and William came on and he has said he reckons his day in court will be about a day and a half. Right?
Yep.
Now, Elisa was on last week, and Elisa, we spoke about this court business, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, we did. Basically, what I can say about this is, if it does go to the Supreme Court, basically, I'll tell you a bit about the legality of that. It is the most competent judging panel in the whole of the UK, okay? So we have the biggest judges in the UK there.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll consider all the interests of every party, okay? So we can kind of be confident that they will make the right decision for us. But because such conclusive decisions have already been made by the inner and outer house in the Scottish Court of Session, on the whole, at the Supreme Court, they are kind of reluctant to overturn a decision of the decision makers in Scotland. Uh-huh. But it could happen. We don't know what will happen there. But what I will say to people who are worried about this going to the Supreme Court, I'd say that Road Sense will more or less see this as a last chance saloon, because once that it's gone to the Supreme Court in London, it can't be heard in Scotland again. So this will definitely be the last chance saloon, and maybe it'd be beneficial for Road Sense to take it down to the Supreme Court, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but we are part of the European community.
We are. Now, it could go to Brussels, the European Court of Justice, but it's very unlikely that will happen, because when something goes to the Supreme Court, it's more or less said and done. But he can take it further, but it's very unlikely that will happen, because then he'll have... Oh, well, I hate to speculate on what the decision of the Supreme Court would be, but it's very unlikely that if the inner and outer house of the Court of Session in Scotland have said no to this, it's very unlikely that the Supreme Court will say yes. So that'll be three decisions against him, and he will be very reluctant to go ahead and take it to the European Court of Justice.
OK, so there you go, Keith. I mean, from this point of view, we're talking maybe, a wee scoot down. I mean, I'm being flippant, but a wee scoot down to London, a day and a half in court. And as Elisa has put forward with knowledge, the fact is it could be over in that time. But Elisa, I mean, they brought the last appeal forward because of the urgency of the matter. It's highly unlikely that the court in London is going to be as sympathetic, is it?
No, I mean, when something goes to the court of, you know, the Supreme Court, it can take months, years to be heard by them. If urgency is the question here, it's not going to be an urgent decision by the court of the Supreme Court in London. They have a high caseload, they've got lots of people to get through, and I doubt that a bypass in Aberdeen will be top of their agenda, if I'm honest.
Oh, well. Keith, there you go. It's you know, if it goes to London, it could be a day and a half, but we just don't know where that day and a half is going to be, do we?
Well, that's the point I'm making. They need to move forward with the making improvements and improvements around Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Especially Dicebridge and on, because it is just getting ridiculous.
Do you think the bypass will do it?
Yes. I mean, it's just undoubtedly it's going to work. If you come away from the airport and you are going to, say, Port Leven.
Yeah.
The easiest route is you go over the Bartway, Kings Wales. We call it the unofficial bypass.
Yeah, yeah.
The route you're taking over Kings Wales.
But basically, Keith, that's you guys using the rat runs, isn't it? As we used to call them, the rat runs.
You've got to use them.
Yeah.
You've really got to use them.
Basically, you reckon that it will do... But what about the city centre congestion?
Well, the city centre congestion... I mean, it's the same. You've only two options. You come into Aberdeen, it's Anderson Drive or through the city centre.
Yeah.
That is your only two options. And you've still got lorries trumping through the Seaton area where it's heavily, heavily built up with kids and elderly people. And you've got 40-tonne trucks trumbling through Seaton.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
King Street. It's yeah. just ridiculous. It's yeah. just totally unacceptable.
But in William's defence, I mean, he has sort of curtailed his activities because he does feel that the powers that be have not presented the case, and he's admitted that some of his points were maybe not, you know, of note. But he does feel now that this is going to be judged on, you know, the nitty gritty, doesn't he?
Well, of course he does. I mean, it's just so frustrating that a taxpayer's paying for all this, is he?
Well,
and what I generally feel about the whole thing is, it's about the area it's going through. If it was going through Manor, Loggy, Sandlands, Ferriers, it wouldn't have mattered, would it?
Well, this then comes on to a very, very interesting argument along the bridge crossing, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, Keith, have you got time?
Yeah.
Right, listen, I've got to go and do a break, or else I'm going to get my head to play with from the boss, okay?
Okay.
But I'll tell you what we'll do is, I'll come back to you, because this point that you've just sort of broached on is quite interesting, because there is another point we have here is about this third Dornbrin, and I'd welcome your opinion on that, mate. Okay.
Okay.
Right, okay. We'll go for the break and we'll come back to Keith and we'll encompass the Western Peripheral route, but we'll also take in his opinions on the third Don crossing.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Good morning. Welcome to Talkin'. 01224 401035 for Elisa. She has taken the phone calls. John has a text on 61025. Prefix your text message with Cammy, C-A-M-M-Y. Email Cammy at nosound2.com or tweet Cammy 1035. We were talking to Keith. Keith, you're still there.
Yeah.
We're talking about the West Peripheral route and the fact that I presume you're echoing, you know, conversations that you guys have had for such a long time, you know, the taxi drivers, and I'm sure the truckers will go the same way with you. But we did broach just at the end of it your thoughts that, you know, if it was in certain areas of Aberdeen, there wouldn't be an objection. Now, that brings us into this next area, which is the Don crossing. What do you guys think about that?
Well, we definitely need another crossing at the Don, but I'm pretty much against it going right through Dulladrone. I mean, that's a really stupid move. I really believe it's a stupid move. It's the same thing. You're going through a heavily built-up area with kids. There's a lot of people milling about there. Now, I originally come from Dulladrone, just at Harris Drive, years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're doing exactly the same thing. You're coming into a built-up area, and unless the bridge is going to be off a big and you've got to cross that bridge without a problem, you're going to create exactly the same situation as a Hardigan roundabout.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it is moving on because the residents have been hit by compulsory purchase orders, right?
Yeah.
Right, now, they're teed off, to say the least, and they're obviously going to put forward a case against it. But there's a guy called Neil Warden, from the Institute of Advanced Motoring.
Yeah.
He says the same as you to a degree.
Basically, the IM would support any third crossing over the Don. We feel that the Aberdeen is a heavily congested area due to the volume of traffic, with it being an oil town, and that provided it's worthwhile, all risk assessments and all risk factors have been taken into account, and also that the pedestrians, cyclists and other road users that are going to be affected by it have been taken into account. Regardless, because the size Aberdeen has grown over such a span of time, we've sort of been left behind with our roads development. So, unfortunately, there is always going to be casualties of war, so to speak. I do appreciate, you know, some people will be affected by this. However, you know, the alternative is continue to sit in congestion for longer periods of time. We're always told that the roads are getting busier, more traffic on the roads. So again, the environmental side of it, traffic sitting, burning more fuel, you know, it's not exactly a green plan, really. I think it would be a balance. Once we get the bypass built, obviously there's no need for so much traffic to come into the city centre. But I believe that the Bridge of Don, it's got more of a population than the size of St Andrews. So if you imagine that amount of people, not all of them heading into the town, but a good majority of them that work the other side of Aberdeen, it's them that's going to be affected. I'm sure that a lot of them would be in favour of the third crossing. But I think, you know, it can only be a good thing. Yeah, there is casualties, as I say, but it's getting the balance, making sure that the traffic within Aberdeen does move freely, as well as traffic out and about in the outskirts.
There you go, Keith, a guy who is from the Institute of Advanced Motoring, and he's basically agreeing with you, you know?
Tom, I don't know if anybody else in Aberdeen knows this. I may be wrong. I think it was way back in the 1950s, there was a bypass first spoken about in Aberdeen, and it started up at Nigg. You know the Nigg Golf Course?
Yeah, yeah.
If you stand at Nigg Golf Course and look across, you see the Washington Cafe in Versnecke, you know, down at the beach?
Yeah.
And they spoke years ago.
Oh, wait a minute, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Now, wait a minute. Now, what was that? Was that not going to be a tunnel or a fly or something?
It was going to be something. It was way back in the 50s, I believe. Now, if you go up there today and look across at what you can see, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the traffic coming out of Tullis and Altons, and if they're going to Peterhead, if they're going to Ellen, if they're going further afield than that,
yeah,
if they joined up a road there across onto the beach esplanade, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It takes a third darn crossing just right out of the equation. Okay, it'll maybe cost a lot of money, but it makes sense. Just go to Nick Golf Club and look across. It's obvious. The traffic will go to down the Nick from Altons. You're onto the Esplanade. You're onto the Peterhead Road. And you're gone. You're out of there.
Now,
I think that was a way back in 1950.
You know something? I seem to remember talks about that, and I can't remember if it was if they were going to construct somewhat sort of like, you know, up in Orkney they've got the barriers.
Yep.
Or if they were going to, you know, use the Dutch way of having a dike or something like that, and they were going to try and do it that way. My only, now I'm just playing devil's advocate here. My only worry there is, when's it going to come out? Because I can see it coming out very close to a certain Mr. Trump's golf course. And he might not welcome you and I maybe instigating that. But I'll tell you something. Now, here's another thought, though. I seem to recall there is a plan put forward for the Exhibition and Conference Centre, because the council were looking at what land they own there, what land they don't, and whatever. And there is a section of land there.
Yeah.
Could that not be used as a landing point for it?
It's something that was discussed years ago, and it just seems to have been pushed by the wayside. But going back to your cars, your bridge over the Don, yes, it's a good idea. Through the Teledrone, it's a wrong idea, because you're doing exactly the same as you're doing at Seaton. You're going through a residential area. Glenn Morrison, I know Glenn very well, a really nice guy. No, it's near right. It's near right.
You reckon you're not on for that?
No.
Listen, Keith, appreciate your time. But we're going to hear about this time and time again, because yeah, it is going to come at us.
Yeah.
But thanks for your time, and I appreciate you phoning the talk in, OK?
Yes, come here.
OK, Keith, see you later. Now, before we leave this, there is an organisation called Nestrans. Now, Derek Murray is a spokesman for them, and he goes a little bit further than Neil, because he says a new bridge is vital to tackle traffic in the city centre.
The river forms a considerable barrier for access to and from the city centre. The bridge itself will provide direct access in both directions between the Bridge Don area and the city centre. It'll remove traffic from the strategic routes into and around the city, benefiting both local and strategic movement. This road is really about movement of people within Aberdeen. It's for local Aberdeen residents trying to access the city centre and trying to get back home again without having to use the major strategic routes which are taking the more longer distance traffic. So it is about local people moving about locally within Aberdeen. Well, there was a lot of feasibility work went into finding out the best route and finding the most convenient crossing point of the river. And this is the culmination of that we've now decided that this is the best place to put it. It's been through a planning application, and planning has been granted for the scheme, so it is in the best route.
There you go. That's Derek Murray from Nestrans, and they've basically said it's a done deal. That's where the third bridge crossing is going. There's no doubt about it. On the months to come, the Western Peripheral Route and the third Don crossing are going to feature heavily. After the break, we'll be talking hopefully to a guy called John, who's coming at us, reference elections, and also, would you believe, Union Terrace Gardens.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Here we go on the talk-in. Now, just before we move on to John, it's quite interesting, because I was having a fiddle about on the web, and it talks about the Western Peripheral Route. Now, this is something that John brought up. You said, when was it first thought of, right?
Yeah.
Now, it was first announced in January 2003. Okay? First announced in January 2003, the construction has not yet begun, but it was approved by ministers late 2009.
Okay.
So, 6 years of messing about. It's approved in 2009, and this is 2012, 3 years.
That's amazing, really, isn't it?
If it doesn't, if it, as Elisa says, if it goes to London, that could be another few years on top of that.
Yeah, there's no timeline, is there, if it goes that far? I mean, it's as long as it takes.
Right, we're coming back to you with some text in a minute. First of all, John, eventually, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay, yourself?
I'm getting wound up about this Western Peripheral route, to be quite honest. Anyway, you're on. What are you on about, the elections?
The connection with the Union Terrace Gardens, but just on a point, just about the Western Peripheral route.
Okay, go on.
I was listening to the lads speaking here, objecting to the objectors, if you like. But I've said before, but William Walton and him, I'm nothing to do with any of it, and to be honest, it doesn't affect me hardly at all. I live in Dyce and I work out the road, so...
Aye, but you're allowed to have opinion, John.
I just feel that the right to take these things, I can, it's a lot of delay and all the rest, it must be so frustrating, but
yes.
I think they're probably right to make sure the legalities are right, because our government system and our local government system is nay beyond reproach, and the div-tuck shortcuts, if you like, and therefore I think they're justified in doing what they need to do, but that's my opinion only.
I'm probably
the minority.
But John, you're absolutely right. But Lisa, am I right? When this now goes to London, it is going to be on the legal points that they're going to be taking their case, am I right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they'll look at the whole legality of the whole thing and see if it is an actual legitimate appeal.
Yeah.
That'll be what they're looking at. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that it's going down there,
yeah,
because, you know, it will be the last chance for Road Sense to actually bring their case forward. So I guess that's a good thing in many ways.
Yes, but William Walton, in his piece, when he did speak to us, he did say that he appreciated that some of the points maybe weren't, you know, as upstanding or as solid. What's the legal term for it?
Yeah, don't know. But you're trying to catch you out here. I guess what they'll do is they'll take the Western Peripheral route and all the plans for that by whoever's putting it forward. It would be the council, I guess, will it? And what they'll do is they'll nitpick, they'll pick it apart, and then obviously if the plan as a whole isn't, you know,
isn't right and proper,
then they can, that's why the appeal can go forward,
yes,
because they will look at the plan and they'll look at the individual points of that and say, hold on, it could go through except with the exception of this and this, and then they'll have to do a whole new plan, and that's how Road Sense can bring this to the court,
yes,
because there is room for that.
And as John has said, and you're quite right in what you're saying, John, it is their right to do so, because that is what it's about, isn't it?
This is the thing, it's just because they've got an opinion on it, and they feel they've got some grounds for carrying on, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, legitimate. Anyway, okay, that's that. John, Union Terrace Gardens and the elections. Now, I've got to warn you, I've got to be careful.
I can't understand. Sorry, I'm not a candidate or anything like that.
Well, that's my next question, but you've answered it. Thank you very much.
The lassie asked me that as well. So.
Did you? The lassie? Hey, Elisa, you're a lassie. Okay, John, go for it.
Okay, I noticed that, and I've made another thing as well, I've made total affiliation to any particular
understand.
Party.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I see the Labour Party and Johan Lamont and all them, they're getting castigated quite a lot this week, because they're saying that if Labour win the election, they will put a stop to this Union Terrace Gardens thing. Uh-huh. And naturally, the people, the SNP and Lib Dem cabal that have been in power for the last wee while, they are saying it's just totally wrong to do this. But my point about this is, we go back to the... because we've had a referendum, and a very narrow majority voted in favour of carrying on with this.
Yes.
But we also had a consultation before that, a small-scale consultation, and because that didn't suit the people that are driving this project, they totally ignored it. The councillors at that time just totally ignored it and went ahead with their own agenda.
Yes.
Okay, so then we carried on and carried on, and a lot of people, actually, myself included, felt that it should be left to the local council elections, because that's only just coming up now. And then you would have seen a totally impartial result. But we didn't get an impartial result. We got a total blizzard of advertising to encourage people to approve this thing. And even despite that, it's just had a narrow majority.
Yes, yes.
So this is my point. that I think this is the time now for the people. I thought the case was totally lost, to be honest, and it was going to happen, and it may still happen, but this is the time now when the populace can really express an opinion on him, because as far as I can see, the Labour Party went to cancel it, the SNP and Lib Dem, they went to carry on with it, so it's a straight choice as far as I can see.
Yes, and do you think that is, having had the referendum,
mm-hmm.
and having been told that the referendum will be upheld, do you still feel that that is the way it's going to have to go in order to get finality on it?
Yes, I do. I cannot, and of course Mike Shepherd as well, him who's heading the
yep.
the Friends at UTG.
Yeah.
He again was said that well, if the thing had went the other way, that he would have been quite happy to accept it. But that's fair enough, because anybody would do that. But I doubt if the people that are going to drive this, they wouldn't have accepted it. They would have found some way to circumnavigate that. So I think, okay, it's been the referendum's passed and we've got a result, but nothing really has happened yet. And because we've got an impending local election, if people feel strongly about it and they want to be allowed to hear any great advertising or anything like that, it's got to be even-handed for this coming up. This is a good chance for the local people to really express their opinion properly, I think.
OK. John, as you'll appreciate, this Union Terrace Gardens has been on the go for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I am in an election situation, so I would hesitate to have a further discussion with you.
I understand what you're saying.
On this basis. However, what I will say is...
Yeah.
I appreciate what you are saying, and I welcome your opinion on the talking on the matter. Not as an election item, but as a straightforward observation from someone who has obviously studied the thing. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it is. But John, thanks very much for phoning up. Okay. All the best to you. Cheers.
No
cheers.
Problem. Bye.
Hey, that's John. Patrick. Hello. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, Tommy.
All is well.
How are you?
All is well.
All is well, yeah. As well as can be, I suppose.
Yes. It's Easter Sunday. It's a time for taking things easy.
It is indeed, yeah.
Right, Patrick, what have you got for the talk-in today?
Right. Firstly, just to quickly point out that last caller, John, fully agree with him. Fully agree with what he said. Okay, that's not the reason I called.
No, but that's all right. No, but again,
the reason I called
that's what the talk-in's for. Put forward your opinions, people.
Regarding this bypass and the congestion in Aberdeen.
Yes.
I mean, I how can I put it? I don't really know where this country's going, because you see Japan, you see Singapore, you see other countries, Asian countries. They don't seem to have problems like this. But when they need something doing, they go ahead and do it. At the end of the day, it's for the good of the majority of the people. Now, we need a bypass. We've needed a bypass for 30-plus years. Why is it taking so long to get to this point? That's the first question. The second question, you mentioned something about the 50s when they were thinking about putting a road across Foot D. They never went ahead with that, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, we had the oil companies. They could have paid towards it. At the end of the day, the road would have benefited the oil companies and, you know, the industry itself. So the government could have looked in that direction for finance and help. Other countries seem to do it. We seem to be the country that always lagging behind when it comes to anything to do with change. I'm not against these people who are complaining about the bypass because for their own interest, their homes, their land, or whatever you might call it. But at the end of the day, it needs to be done. And somebody's got to take the bull by the horns and say, this is going to happen, it's got to happen, and it's for the majority of the people of Aberdeen and the industry in Aberdeen. At the end of the day, that's what suffers if it's not completed. That's on the bypass.
Yeah.
The second thing, I think the congestion in the city, with the city, a good percentage of the fault, the blame for that, I would put squarely on the shoulders of the council. They do nothing but block the roads off by allowing street parking, on-street parking everywhere. I think there's legislation somewhere that says that they cannot operate or build car parks to generate income. So, but there is no legislation to say that they can't stick in a parking meter on a street and thereby generate an income for themselves or for the council. I just think that they take it too far. There's too many roads in Aberdeen that's just completely chock-a-block with cars, you know, parking up at peak times, not just any time of the day, but at peak times. And that doesn't help the traffic flow and traffic movement. I would like to remind all the councillors that at the end of the day, the heavier the traffic, the slower the movement of traffic, the more it costs the city. And yeah, they should all realise that.
Okay. As far as your first point was other countries, how they develop their infrastructure faster, is it not fair to say that these countries are developing an infrastructure before they actually put in a building structure?
Well, Tommy, this is what I said last week.
Yep.
At the end of the day, most of these countries seem to have, like I say, they take the bull by the horns. At the end of the day, some industry comes along and said, we'd like to build a plant there, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that. Before that ever goes ahead, they look at the planning permission for roads and stuff, and they go and build that. You've got your railways, your trams, and your whatever is needed to move the traffic and move industry is in place before this happens. But in this country, it seems to be the backward approach. You know, or we'll go and build 2,000 houses there, and then we'll think, oh, heavens, we have to build a road to move these people.
Yeah, it's very interesting what you're saying about...
That really should be done before.
Yeah, very interesting what you were saying about the fact that we had an opportunity when oil first came to the city. That might have been our Shetland, if you like, where we could have said, righto, this is for the good of the community.
Yeah.
We need this. You know, if you're taking trucks up to Peterhead, which was obviously going to happen for, you know, because of the port situation, you know, let's have a contribution to something that can help that, you know?
Well, that happens in Saudi Arabia, that happens everywhere else. I mean, that happens in the States. At the end of the day, the businesses contribute, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that, you know, will gain in the long term.
Yes.
If everything flows and works for them.
Yes. So, but again, your point, and I think you did broach this point last time, was that, you know, the councillors have to appreciate that, you know, things have to be done.
Yes.
That things have to move on. And and I think the fact is, I don't think anyone will deny, I don't think even William Walton would deny the fact that some form of bypass has to be put into Aberdeen. And I don't think people will deny the fact that we need to get some form of decongestion into the congestion we have in the city. The other argument that people would put forward, you know, you're talking about the parking. The argument they have then is, well, people have got to park their vehicles because they need to get into work. And people say, you know, I've had this argument constantly. People say, well, take the bus. But the point of the matter nowadays is buses don't run in time. And buses don't run in time because of congestion. And the congestion can make people late. And nowadays, people are not as understanding about if the bus was late. Well, that's the fifth time.
You couldn't be more right.
No, that's the fifth time the bus has been late this week. And they start docking people's pay. And, I mean, I was talking to... Hold on now. I was talking to a family, and their kids go to a city centre school, and in order for them to avoid the school giving them a text saying their kids are late, because, you know, it's literally within a five-minute period.
Yeah.
The kids are late for school. But in order for them not to get the text saying they're late, they would have to leave somewhere like 6:45 in the morning. And the parents are just not prepared to put their kids up that early in a bus that early. What are they going to do for the period before? You know, so it is a huge stramash, all based around congestion. That's for sure, Patrick.
Well, the thing is, it's a catch-22.
It is.
If you look at it.
I think that's,
if you allow the cars to park, you'll create congestion. If you don't allow the cars to park, you'll create problems for the people who can't park. What they've got to do, I mean, look at St. Nicholas House is a good example. You've got a property there that's worth more, 6 million plus.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the council, for instance, turning that into a car park, a multi-story?
Like a multi-story?
A multi-story, and the council charge, the council upkeep it, and the council get the money for it, and thereby alleviating some of the parking on the streets.
Well,
allowing the traffic to move.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's an interesting point.
It's going to cost money. At the end of the day, it's going to cost money, but you have to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, every business knows that.
And it might be part... It might be part of, you know... It might be part of the situation where they say, right, you know, it might ease the congestion, so that might help that problem.
Yeah, but apart from all that, that the land and the property still stays in the hands of the people.
Well,
it doesn't get sold off to some business to use as whatever it needs to use it as, thereby causing or creating more congestion in the city.
I hear what you're saying. Patrick, thank you very much for your opinion and the talking. Much appreciated, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
North Sound 2. Listen again.
Bill Torrance at 12 o'clock on the talk end. Mike, how are you?
Yourself coming.
You know something, I'm okay, bud. I've just got an extra cup of coffee, so you know my attitude to having coffee, so that's me buzzing for a while.
Aye, so you're on high, are you?
Ah, yes. As high as a man of my age can achieve nowadays, you know.
Aye. We're talking about this congestion in Aberdeen and Fitivianan, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, they're going to want to start building, obviously they've started, obviously, the excavating and that, getting beside the airport.
Yes.
You know all that stuff that's been, the excavators are digging up and that.
They're
saying it's going to create 2,000 jobs, right? Now, is that continuous, or is that just a period of the building time or whatever, man?
Mike, I got caught in this in the garden, because remember they were saying it was going to, it was going to create jobs, and I'm never sure if those figures relate to the building of it or the operating of it, you know? So I'm not much help you there, mate.
So I'm saying, but the width of the road and the traffic lights at that particular junction,
yes.
You know where I'm at? They get to expand that road, especially at the busy period in times when the flights come in and the flights go out sort of thing. And it's already congested, uh-huh. But they can create 2,000 jobs, but okay, it'll probably whittle itself down to about 500 maybe with the units and everything. Uh-huh. But they get to do anything, and who owns that road, per chance? Do you know that?
Must be council. Must be council, surely.
The council, no, but who repairs it, Nan? Because it's a fight between the council and Bear.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You know, the potholes?
Oh, yes.
Somebody will repair it if and when it is required, Nan. And I've been out there for about 12 years, back and forth all the time, but this new building area is going to create more havoc, and to try and get in and out of Aberdeen for the airport is absolutely ludicrous.
Are you a driver, Mike?
No, but I work in that area for the past 12 years.
No,
I travel every day.
That's what I was saying. So you don't drive through it, but you go to your work and you come home from your work. So you're traveling at times where it could be fairly congested anyway.
I've left Aberdeen Airport at 5 o'clock at night,
uh-huh.
And I get home to Kingcourt, and it takes me about 6:15 before I can go home. And that's going through Kings Wells.
Oh, yes.
Now, in a quarter. Uh-huh. It's unbelievable. So if the all this building is going to be around about that area of the airport, it's going to cause even more havoc unless they're widening the road.
You know something, Mike? It's what everybody seems to have the underlying thing. Like, you're coming on about the building properties there. The guys are coming on about, you know, the taxi runs, the rat runs.
Yeah.
Everybody, and Patrick was talking as well, they all seem to have the same underlying thing. It's all very well building, but you've got to service what you're building, you know. And as if you've put it very succinctly, if you don't have a road big enough to take the traffic in and out of it in a sensible manner, you know, you're just getting more congestion, aren't you?
That's right, because of the volume of the traffic it's going to create, it's going to cause more havoc, you know what I mean?
Somebody needs a kick up the bahoochie, I think, Mike.
Well, the man said before, Nahan, over in Singapore, etc., Nahan, they look at the road structure first before you get planning permission to put buildings in.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at the broader aspect.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Accommodate your growth, basically, yeah?
Yeah, and then put the buildings in, and then we'll put the buildings into suit.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, I'm with you there, Mike, and it does seem to be that, you know, we seem to be lagging behind, don't we? I mean,
we do, yeah.
And it's a bit disappointing. We're called the European oil capital, you know? I mean, you could see there was no humour in my voice, was there? But I mean,
no, not at all.
And we have all these companies who are leading things, and I mean, we have the content in Aberdeen to go forward in the oil industry, but I can't help but feeling the communication routes, the road routes, the peripheral route, the bridges,
all the companies are willing to come in, but they won't because they know fine it's a bottleneck.
And they need the services.
Exactly.
Mike, Thank you very much. You've got the last say in the talk in today. Phone again next week. We'll continue this, sir. Thank you very much.
Night-night.
There we go. Night-night. That's a man from yonks ago. He's still half asleep. The talk in's over today. Thank you very much for all those who participate. If you want to get in touch, it's up on the website. It's a piece of cake. You just get Cammy at northsound2.com. Thank you to all. Have a nice weekend. We'll catch up next week.